The text, the last three verses from the reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers, will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. Thus far, the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, talk about the Word of God, Scripture, being relevant for our day and society. It was almost as if the Apostle Paul was transported by a time machine to the 21st century United States of America. Paul's message in the first century AD and in our time remains the same. Those whose lives are characterized by the sins listed in our text, who continue in these transgressions without repenting of them, will not be saved. Paul mentions the sexually immoral. A better translation here would be fornicators. Although that word is not used very much today, the concept and portrayal of fornication is prevalent in TV programs, movies, novels, magazines, and rock music. If the man and woman know and like each other, their coming together outside of marriage is considered harmless, something to be expected. This sexual relationship may even be portrayed in a humorous light. There may be some qualms about adultery because this usually involves deception, but that reality is softened by the use of phrases such as an affair. It's only a harmless fling, as long as it's done discreetly. Christ included lust as a violation of the sixth commandment. This makes us think not only of certain vile magazines, but also of the internet. Humanity is adept at finding new ways to commit the same old sins. How many in America today are guilty of internet fornication or adultery? Which brings us to the matter of homosexuality. The good news, as we know, is that California voted 52-48% against gay marriage. The bad news is that California voted 52-48% against gay marriage. That was a close margin. We know how the trend is going in our society, especially with the media constantly promoting homosexuality as an alternative lifestyle. With this now being packaged as a civil rights issue, certain so-called anti-discrimination laws, if passed, could affect several churches. But with some Christian denominations, this would be no problem, for they are actually part of the problem. Paul mentions the greedy and swindlers. Nothing more has to be said about this, given the scene in contemporary America. We have read and heard so much about people living beyond their means and about shady corporations, lending practices, and investment counselors. Against this ugly background of wickedness, the Apostle Paul preaches a deadly serious message. Those who practice these sins and the others listed in our text, and the list is only representative, it could be longer, will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will be excluded from Christ's kingdom in this life, and then at death they will go to hell. Although the moral and religious situation in our society seems to be getting worse, and despite increasing pressure from changing world conditions, we cannot give up preaching, teaching, and speaking forth the law of God. We cannot water this down, compromise it, beat around the bush. We have to keep on presenting the law in its full force. And we can never give up applying the same law in its full force to ourselves. It is relatively easy to preach, speak, and teach against 100 sins in others, but to see and admit one sin in ourselves is more difficult. The truth is that we are all guilty of violating the commands of the holy God, if not in deed, then in thought and in word. Left to ourselves, we would be without hope. The corrupt, evil world is headed for damnation, but there, except for the grace of God, go you and I. But because of the grace of God, we are what we are. Martin Luther once said that the beauty of the gospel lies to a large extent in pronouns, such as me, my, your, and you, who loved me and gave himself for me. Christ Jesus, my Lord. Son, daughter, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you. Paul writes in this passage from Corinthians, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The phrase, the name of Jesus, refers to that which reveals Jesus and his work. This is the gospel, the good news, that the Son of God became man in order that he might be the world's substitute with his life and with his death. Christ, taking humanity's transgressions upon himself, paid the full damning penalty for all those sins with his agony and death on a cross. Because Jesus arose from the dead, this means that every single human being has been redeemed, ransomed by Christ. This includes the idolater, the fornicator, the adulterer, the homosexual offender, the drunkard, the swindler. This includes you and me. The Holy Spirit brought us to faith in Christ through the gospel. For most of us, this was in baptism, the washing of regeneration. Through the gospel and the Lord's Supper, the Holy Spirit keeps us in this saving relationship. Having complete forgiveness for all of our sins through faith in Christ, having been cleansed of all of our transgressions, we have been and are sanctified. God regards us as holy. He declares us righteous since we, through faith, are covered with the righteousness which Christ has won for us and all people with his holy life and his atoning death. We are members of Christ's kingdom now and we will be forever. With his saving work in our lives, God has made us eager witnesses for Christ. The best ambassadors for Christ are those who recognize the enormity of their sin, but also know the greater grace of God. We speak, teach, and preach the gospel with confidence, for this is the real solution for humanity's wickedness. What bidding there would be on Wall Street for a remedy which could guarantee peace of mind and everlasting life. But the gospel is free. The gospel does not discriminate. It assures that anyone who believes in Jesus has forgiveness and everlasting life. The gospel is powerful. It is the word of the Almighty King. It can break down any barrier of sin and unbelief and change those who were enemies of God into his dear children and heirs of heaven. We are also eager sharers of the gospel because we know the effects of the gospel in our own lives. The Holy Spirit, through this means of grace, has freed us not only from the guilt of sin, but also from the power of sin. Those two blessed gospel realities go hand in hand. An old boatman once said that falling into the water did not necessarily kill a non-swimmer. It was his remaining under the water which had that effect. We daily fall into sin, but God's word leads us to repentance, and we have forgiveness for Jesus' sake. Further, united with Christ in faith, in his power, we fight against sin, overcome sin, and bear fruit for the Lord, the external evidence of our internal faith. In that sense, we are not under the power of sin. Unbelievers are. They remain under sin. They are helpless slaves of sin. Again, Paul, in our text at the beginning, is writing about those who continue in fornication, adultery, homosexual practice, idolatry, theft, drunkenness, and so forth. These people are spiritually dead, and their lives give testimony to that fact. But God can use His law to lead them to see and confess their sin, and then His gospel to save them, to rescue them, to make them alive spiritually in Christ. God can liberate them, as He has us, from the chains of sin, so that they too can lead the life of repentance in a chaste, decent, and honest manner. Therefore, with things in society around us getting worse, we do not throw up our hands in despair and say it's hopeless. Rather, we pray, Lord, help me to teach, speak, and preach your law and gospel as I ought. Use me to your glory and for the everlasting welfare of others. And thank you, God, for my salvation by your grace, for Jesus' sake. Amen.